I'm Greg Hunter. Welcome to USAWatchdog.com. With us, a return trip from the North Florida doctor on the front lines of everything COVID. And she is Elizabeth Eade. She was a huge hit, first time guest last time. Just loved having her on. She enlightened us on the, you know, intubation, $39,000, which means they're basically incentivizing doctors to get paid to intubate you, which few people ever are unintubated until they're dead. But anyway, Dr. Eade, thank you for joining us today on USAWatchdog.com.
Hi, Greg. Thanks for having me. Happy to be back. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you. I wanted to start with, I want to talk about the intubation because there's some other news that I didn't delve into last time, but let's start with what did you see after Thanksgiving? You were telling me this in the pre-interview and you said, oh, let me tell you what I saw after Thanksgiving. What did you see with your patients after Thanksgiving where the vaxxed ended up spending time with the unvaxxed and vice versa?
Correct, Greg. So a lot of people traveled who had recently had the 100 microgram booster. And when they got around family members that were either unvaccinated or only had the J&J or one shot, what we saw the day after Thanksgiving and the weekend, through the weekend in the ER, I was in the ER doing admission, taking care of people. We saw a lot of patients that were unvaxxed coming in with all kinds of symptoms. Chest pain, acute heart attack, myocarditis, pericarditis, head-to-toe macular papular rashes. And for the first time in my entire 25-year career, I saw a patient come in with a ruptured left ventricle. That's a ruptured heart muscle who had to immediately go to open heart surgery. Now, that patient happened to be fully vaccinated and also had the booster within a week before traveling, which is very concerning. We're seeing an uptick across the country with chest pain, sudden cardiac death. We're seeing myocarditis, pericarditis, whether you're vaccinated or not vaccinated with the COVID vaccines, J&J, AstraZeneca, Moderna, or Pfizer. And this is very concerning. These blood clots that are being caused by both the graphene oxide, which acts as a razor blade in the blood vessels, it's slicing up blood vessels, causing blood clotting, and the synthetic spike protein that the mRNA envelope is making intracellular is circulating through the body and causing endothelial damage, myocardial heart cell inflammation and damage. And these antibodies and macrophages that are surrounding these spike proteins are actually boring through cardiac muscle cells and causing damage. And this rupture, we believe, was from a fully boosted patient who had rupture of the muscle because of the synthetic spike protein. Very, very concerning. There's also concerns for transmission of the spike protein. You and I both know that Karen Kingston has talked about the Pfizer studies. They had actually documented in the literature, in the studies, that there was transmission happening. That is true. It's in the documents. You can pull the study documents. You can pull the FDA approval and see that there indeed was transmission and precautions put in place to document the transmission from husband to fertile wife, or from husband to wife who is pregnant, or from the subject who was breastfeeding, getting spike protein into those infants, and those infants having some symptoms such as rash or COVID-like symptoms.
And you're talking about spreading it from the vaxxed to the unvaxxed.
Correct.
And you're also saying with people who are boosted, they're all of a sudden turbocharging their symptoms. Am I getting that right?
That is absolutely correct. Because we know that the boosters have 100 micrograms which equates to about a billion synthetic spike proteins being produced in the body. So the initial COVID shots were 30 micrograms, 50 micrograms, and the boosters 100 micrograms. So you're getting twice as much of the synthetic mRNA, and you're making twice as much of the synthetic spike protein. And we're estimating in the billions.
There's all kinds of new court cases out that came out last week. This is Saturday. This came out last week. So they're talking about court cases that were the, this has happened in Missouri, where, well, the World Health Organization says there's no evidence that booster jabs would offer greater protection to the healthy. They're saying that. You also have a court case in Missouri where the COVID-19 vaccines do not prevent transmission and diseases. This is a judge in Missouri, Judge Daugherty's ruling destroys Biden's mandates. They also have this Omicron, which there's 300 cases, and Biden's, he's getting 100 million boosters. What do you think about all the news coming out about the boosters? It seems like a mad dash to booster people, but they're hurting people.
Absolutely, Greg. This is medical tyranny. First of all, the variants have never been isolated in a laboratory testing facility. The sequence has not been isolated.
So they're lying.
SARS-CoV-2.
Hold on. So that means they're just making it up.
Absolutely.
They have no science. So they're, oh, Omicron. Yeah, okay, where is it? You're saying
There is no test for that. There is no sequencing for the variants. The variant is the COVID vaccine. That is the variant. And antibody-dependent enhancement is what's happening. And the nature of a virus mutating, as it mutates, it gets weaker and weaker and weaker as it moves from subject to subject. We know that to be true. So when you vaccinate one booster or one shot, two shots, one booster, and in Israel, they're on the fourth already, you're setting up the patients who took the shot to have an immune deficiency and get viruses. By definition, those are the mutations, the people who have been vaccinated. There are no variants isolated. In fact, SARS-CoV-2 has not been isolated. We know it's a genomic sequence that was downloaded from North Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and sent to the Wuhan lab to set this all off. There is no SARS-CoV-2. Is there virus out in the community? Absolutely. A flu-like virus, RSV, influenza A and B. Absolutely, there is virus out in the community.
Wow, that is stunning. You know, I was saying this on the air. I had a doctor friend of mine here in Greensboro, and he's I don't want to give away too much. He's a surgeon and a skin doctor, and he says, you know, I have all my friends. I know a lot of doctors. He's a doctor. I'm sure you know a lot of doctors. He says, they all rushed out to get this thing, and they were getting in front of it. Oh, we're going to step in line first. And he says, I mean, almost to a person, they're all sick, and they know they're sick, and they don't know where to turn to. The doctors are sick, and they don't know where to turn to. You were telling me about a doctor who told her patients, and she's a doctor that takes care of pregnant women, which is, what is that, OBGYN, is that right?
OBGYN, correct.
Okay, and she says that she told him to get vaxxed, and what happened?
Well, the number of miscarriages and stillbirths went up in their practice, and she now has quite a lot of remorse. And the number of miscarriages, stillbirths, and missed abortions is up 20-fold across the country.
Oh gosh. And yes. Is she sick as well?
Yes. There are quite a few physicians that were first in line at the hospital to get the Pfizer and Moderna so that they could, what they thought could be protected from taking care of patients. And what they failed to do, Greg, was to pull the studies and to pull the patents to look at the composition of some of these vaccines. And if you pull the patents, you can get a great idea of what's in the vaccines, all of them, J&J, AstraZeneca, Pfizer, Moderna. Also, there were some pretty smart doctors, including myself, that got vaccine and looked under the microscope. Carrie Madej, myself, Sherry Tenpenny, quite a few doctors around the country and around the world are analyzing the vaccine under the microscope for themselves. They're also analyzing their patient's blood. They're looking at blood samples called a peripheral smear, and they're seeing what the spike protein is doing to the red blood cells. It's actually sickling and clumping the red blood cells. Also, there are some very smart doctors now that are drawing the T cell levels, the CD8 and the CD4 levels, because we know that within the Moderna and the Pfizer, there's a sequence of HIV-1-3 sequences that are spliced in to some of these lethal batches that are causing a complete collapse of the immune system. So the CD8 levels are being decimated, and they're going unchecked, which allows then cancer cells to dysregulate and grow. So we're seeing huge numbers of increased cancer across the board, such as endometrial, prostate, lung cancer, and testicular cancers. So this is very serious.
When you say you looked at what was in, you obviously, I have to ask this question. Apparently you did not get vaxxed.
No, sir, I did not.
And what when you looked under the microscope, when you looked at the reading, what are the stuff that, what are the things that you saw that went, oh, I'm not shooting this into my body? What did you see and what did you read that that said to you, I'm not going to dump this into my body? What was it?
Well, I have to admit, I cried when I looked at the slides. There were metallic-like structures. There were round metallic structures that, if you went away from the microscope and came back after an hour, they actually organized. Very concerning. There were also a parasite-like structure in some of the vials. Not all of them, but some of them. And I actually cried. It took me a couple hours to get focused. That you can actually see with a regular microscope with a white light quite a few things right in your office or your lab or your home by just putting a slide onto the microscope. It was very concerning, very concerning.
And you were talking, I want to back up just a minute. You said that there were components of HIV. You're talking, there were components of AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome. Did I get that right? There are AIDS components in these vaccines?
Yes. And there was a study done in 2000 in Kiev called the Human Genomic Project. And they created something called a Hydra vulgaris, which is a parasite. And within that parasite, they spliced in a sequence of AIDS and HIV, as well as MERS and SARS, right into it. And it was chimerically manipulated. And that is in some of the lethal batches. And it's causing a complete destruction of the immune system. And those lethal lot numbers I'm going to read to you, Greg. The Pfizer lethal lot numbers, which is 5% of the total batches that were sent out. E is in Edward, K is in Keep, 9231. That's responsible for between 3,500 and 4,000 deaths. The Moderna 039K20A, that's responsible for 4,000 plus deaths. And the lot number Moderna 041L20A was actually pulled from California However, California didn't share the pulling of those lots for the rest of the United States. And these 5% lethal batches were sent to 13 states across America. And Greg, I have to ask you, were those 13 states red states? We have a FOIA request, Thomas Wren's many people, to get that information about what states those lethal lots went to. But it would be helpful to your listeners to know what those lot numbers are so they can compare to their vaccine cards, their lots.
And this is what I'm dying, because I hear people write this on my website. I got big engagement on my website. I get 200-300-400 comments. You got 400-300 comments. You had huge engagement. And I still want to talk about the patient bill of rights. We're going to get to that. And I want to talk about how they're being doctors being incentivized to kill you in the hospital. We're going to get to that. But before we get to that, I have people tell me, oh, you know, my friends have got it. You know, my family members got it. And I don't see anything wrong. Did all those people get placebos? Or they haven't had a problem yet? What is it?
I think it's both. Some people did get placebo. Remember, when this rolled out, we were in phase 1, 2, and 3 trials with no controls, because Pfizer broke the control group before their second phase ended. So some people are getting placebo, and some people are getting real vaccine. And some people are having immediate allergic reactions from the polyethylene glycol. Those are immediate anaphylactic reactions. And some people are getting the delayed 3 to 7 day reactions where you're at most risk for the micro blood clots. And those are the sudden cardiac deaths, the chest pain, the acute MI, or what we call STEMI, myocarditis, pericarditis, pulmonary embolism, and clots in the legs and extremities. And those happen from the first 3 to 7 days. And then there are delayed reactions. The COVID-like symptoms may come, you know, a few weeks to a month later. And then some of the delayed reactions would be infertility and difficulty getting pregnant, an organ failure, or autoimmune things popping up from the antibodies, such as diabetes, multiple sclerosis, some neurological conditions. And so some of that's delayed. We just don't know, because there weren't any studies. There weren't any animal studies. We don't know what we're going to see. And so people need to understand, check the lot numbers, protect yourself, build your immune system up, do everything that you can to protect your immune system to handle these synthetic spike proteins. But I can tell you that some of the genetic modification, there's no treatment for that.
Wow.
There's no treatment. The operating systems that they injected, there's no treatment for that. The genetic changes, there's no treatment for that.
You're talking that if you are unvaxxed, you know, a lot of people think, hey, I'm unvaxxed. I have friends that won't be vaxxed, right? Our joke is, make sure you get that booster, and they laugh because they didn't get the first shots, right? And so, but they're at risk. If you're around people who are vaxxed, especially if you've been vaxxed plus one, plus your booster, you're at risk. You got to protect yourself. Will you explain that, please?
Yes, because transmission does occur. The spike protein can be transmitted from respiratory, from skin, so skin-on-skin contact, and sexual intercourse type of contact. It does come through the skin. It's often attached to nanofibers, and those nanofibers we know have the ability to jump and move. We know that human beings have a static electrical charge, and these synthetic spike proteins are attracted to that negative charge. So there are some things that you can do to protect yourself. If you're working around people that have been boosted, long sleeves, cover your neck. Some people have to wear a mask at work. I'm obviously against masks because they don't work, There's no science, there's no studies, but you can protect yourself with eyewear, masks, long sleeves. And I recently read a paper that the silver infused clothing and copper infused clothing will repel that negative charge. And that may help. That may help as well. I'm reading some study. I read ferociously every day, trying to get some information, some helpful tips for people to get rid of the spike protein. Again, there's no direct studies, but we have some information that has been shared by various people, like Sherry Tenpenny, who's doing excellent work, and Peter McCullough, and Judy Mikovits, who recommends chlorine dioxide, topical ozone type gels or chlorine dioxide gels on your skin to repel the spike protein, ivermectin to help eliminate the spike protein. So there are some things out there, some information out there that may be helpful. We just don't know enough. We're still looking at studies.
Dr. Pierre Corey is telling people that he's doing it himself, and he's on here, and it's very interesting. He says, you know, whether you're vaxxed or not, you need 2 doses a week of ivermectin. And, you know, it's 9 milligrams. People go, oh, what's the poundage? 9 milligrams per 100 pounds. He also, he also said that if you have exposure, you think you've had a big exposure, you should do 3 to 5 days and then twice a week after that. Are you seeing the same things? Is that something that you're seeing is helpful to people, doses of ivermectin?
Yes, I am taking prophylactically weekly ivermectin. And I am recommending it in not 9 milligrams per 100, but 0.2 milligrams per kilogram for 5 days for exposure, and then twice a week. So I agree with him.
Does that work out to be 9 milligrams? People live in a world of 100 pounds, you know, in pounds.
It's close.
So it's close. Nine.
Yes, it's very
close. They say that's what the horseworm is when you inject it, is close. Well, the beautiful thing about ivermectin is that and you can confirm this, and I've seen the studies myself, and I'm not a doctor, but I can read, that they've had extreme dosing of ivermectin in studies up to 10 times, and there's not much that happens. You know, if you give yourself a little bit more, there's not a big downside for this drug. It's a Nobel Prize winning drug, correct?
No, correct. It's been out for 30 years. It's had 135 studies.
Oh.
It's 74%+ effective in multiple viruses, including bacterial, parasitic, and now they're doing some cancer studies with it. Very safe, only 6 deaths and 7 billion prescriptions, and 42 total in the world, 6 in the United States. Diarrhea is the number one side effect, and then a rash is number two. Can cause GI upset, some nausea and vomiting, and diarrhea.
That's an amazing stat. I mean, you almost have to, your chances of dying for taking ivermectin is about the same as a meteor hitting the moon and knocking off a big chunk and it coming to the earth and you walking out to your car and it hitting you on the head.
Correct.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the intubation, because people don't, you know, Dr. Pierre Corey, who is one of the top pulmonary guys in the country, if not the world, is saying he's an ICU specialist. He says, my goal is to keep people out of the hospital because of their anemic treatment protocols, and they help the few and fail the many, he says. They give him remdesivir, which he says is a ridiculous drug. And he's trying to keep his patients out of the hospital. And basically what he's saying in a nice way is that they're killing people. And you're in the hospital seeing it all the time. And you said an amazing thing to me in the interview. And I asked you, I said, oh, you know, you said in your last interview that the hospital gets $39,000 for intubation, all right, to get in the, you know, and that get into that realm of treatment. And, of course, you know, they... even I know most of the time people die when they're intubated. And I ask, are the doctors getting a piece of the $39,000 for intubation and that kind of treatment? And you said?
Yes. Huh. And you can go on the CMS site and actually look at the reimbursement for everything that's being done related to COVID codes, the ICD-10 codes. and the CPT, which are their procedure codes. Now, the hospitals are averaging $100,000 reimbursement per COVID case. Whoa. The doctors are getting bonuses for boosting or giving the COVID vaccine before patients are released from the hospital. And they're also being incentivized to put COVID on the death certificates. Now, I can tell you, Greg, I've never written COVID on a death certificate, and I won't. It's unethical.
Because you don't believe COVID is, because there's never been isolated. And you're saying—
Correct. There are 25 countries now that have successfully sued because they cannot prove that the SARS-CoV-2 exists. There are no laboratory studies, sequencing, data, or isolation.
That means
just not there.
And that means this latest Omicron and more BS.
More BS. Nobody has isolated it. Doesn't exist. And by the way, if you unscramble that, it equals moronic. This is moronic medicine. This is mafia white coats killing people in the hospital because they refuse to use proven drugs like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, which is on the NIH table 2E as appropriate use in COVID in the hospital.
How are these doctors, do they think, are they going to get away with this?
I mean, they are not going to get away with this. Yesterday, I listened to a Polish news conference where Reiner Fomich and his 1,000 lawyer team opened up the Nuremberg II trials in Europe. I listened to the conference. They have 1,000 lawyers and 10,000 scientists and doctors as expert witnesses. The Nuremberg trials have started. Doctors will not be able to escape prosecution. Nurses will not be able to escape. Respiratory therapists will not be able to escape. CFOs, CEOs, administrators, respiratory therapy, all the way down the line to pharmacy. If you participated in giving the killer drug remdesivir and ventilating someone and they died, you will not escape because you knew, our physicians knew, and they were told and they were coerced by the administrators, the hospital administrators, that they had to use the CDC protocol, even though they knew that remdesivir had a mortality rate of 53% in two studies, not just the Gilead study, but the CDC study for Ebola in Africa. They knew it was a bad drug.
And they were forced to use it. Or they were coerced to use it, and they said, oh, I'm just a prison guard, I'm following orders.
Well, just following orders doesn't cut it in the Nuremberg trials, because we know the teachers, the nurses, the doctors, even the media were hung. This is a much larger scale.
They will not
escape this, Greg.
You know, I was by Walmart, and Walmart, and my local Walmart was filling for people because I knew some people went in and got it. They went to some of the health cares and they got an expensive prescription. But Walmart was filling it. And then, last week they told me it came down from the corporate. They're cutting it off. They're not going to fill it. Not filling Walmart. They'll give you an experimental drug. And we now know that there was a judge that said that Comirnaty and BioNTech 19 for Pfizer, not interchangeable.
Not interchangeable, correct. Because that would be a bait and switch. And the BioNTech is still in phase trials. It's emergency use authorization. So you can't, that's against the law. That's a bait and switch.
Yeah. And so what do you think about companies like Walmart and, the pharmacist over at least at Costco? I don't know if it's company policy. Oh, no, you can't have that. Well, I'll give you any shot you want, though. What do you think about that?
That's also illegal. And what I did myself, this is what I do when I call a prescription. I fax the NIH document table 2E to the pharmacy if they're giving me a hard time to prove to them that it is NIH and FDA approved. And I demand the medicine.
And they give it to you?
They do, once I provide that information and ask for their license number. And I tell families, ask for the license number and report them to the pharmacy board, because it's against the law to not fill a doctor's prescription.
Oh. Yeah, I think Pierre Corey is going to be an expert witness, Dr. Pierre Corey, and one of the pharmacies. I don't want to, cause any legal problems for myself, but he says that they are basically inserting themselves as doctors. They are practicing medicine without a license, in effect. The pharmacies.
Right, they're outside their scope of practice. And many states now are suing. And I think there ought to be fines to pharmacists and doctors that refuse to fill FDA-approved medications.
Now, to the benefit of the pharmacists that I was talking to, they were filling it. And they said, we were filling it. But the company told us to stop it. Wow. Walmart told them to stop filling a Nobel Prize-winning drug that destroys COVID.
You know why, Greg?
Why?
Do you know why?
No.
Walmart is one of the chief investors in the CDC. Remember, the CDC is a private company.
Oh.
And Walmart is on that list of major investors.
That's a revelation.
That's a conflict of interest. So basically, if you look at the list, it's about 30 deep of companies, pharmaceutical companies, big box stores like Amazon, Melinda Gates, big banks. So they're all on that CDC major contributor list. Remember, the CDC is a privately held organization, and they're just a vaccine distributor and moneymaker. And, these Pfizer, Moderna companies, they're making $211 million a day, $65,000 an hour. This is about money.
And what they can't cover up is the collapsing narrative. You had nine of Dallas Cowboy football players, starters, come down with COVID. They're all fully vaxxed. You have people like Colin Powell dropping over dead after that third booster, according to the family. You have all these soccer players and people in the stands dropping over, passing out, many
Correct.
Of them dying on the field, on camera. And so is this scenario, and a lot of people can't grasp this, and I got to tell you, I'm having a hard time grasping it too. Is this scenario pointing towards a big a bunch of sick people and die off this winter, which we haven't even got into winter yet? Is that what this
yeah.
is pointing to?
Yes, there's been over 500 FIFA soccer players collapse on the soccer fields in Europe. And there's 128 soccer players who have died with sudden cardiac death after being fully vaccinated. And this is not just the only sport. We're seeing it here in basketball, in football, in all kinds of sports here in America. And this is not just genocide, this is democide. This is our government targeting a group of people and killing them. That's democide.
And there could be no science. I mean, Harvard came out, now, to their credit, last month and said that yet another study, now it's not peer reviewed yet, but it is Harvard. And they said that natural immunity gives you far better protection than the shots, and your chance of you transmitting it is almost nil. Another Harvard study a month or two before that looked at all the counties in America, and the highest vax counties had the highest transmission rates, and the lowest vax counties had the lowest transmission rates. And we cannot get that through to Fauci and to the administration and to the medical community and the medical boards and the doctors and the pharmacists. We can't get that kind of information through. Why?
Well, it's a corrupt system. David Martin has masterfully gone through the patents, gone through the fraud and the RICO violations and all of the felony charges. And he even met with a Department of Justice and Ron Johnson and divulged, turned over all of his work. And the Department of Justice didn't even look at it. And now he's imploring the attorney generals, at least one attorney general, to step up in some state and actual actually file fraud charges. That's all we need to make this emergency use authorization go away, is to prove fraud. We have the proof. Somebody needs to step up and make the arrest. Then the emergency use authorization goes away. But they're covering up the fact that these vaccines do not prevent you from getting virus. They don't prevent transmission, and they don't give you immunity from getting other viruses or SARS-CoV-1. We know that SARS-CoV-1, which was eradicated 20 years ago, gave 70 to 80% long-lasting immunity. We studied it. We studied it 1 year, 5 year, 10 year, 15 years, the T cell levels. And 70 to 80% of the world had long-acting T cell immunity. So people who are unvaccinated, who had virus or COVID, whatever you want to call it, they have robust, long-lasting immunity. And there's no reason to vaccinate those people.
Which brings us to you've been working on the Patient Bill of Rights, which, you know, we have Air Traffic Bill of Rights. We have a Bill of Rights in the Constitution. But you're talking about a Patient Bill of Rights. So they're abusing people, in your estimation, in the hospitals with these protocols and these treatments where they cut you off from the family and they cut you off completely so they can have their way with you and basically murder you. Tell me about your Patient Bill of Rights.
So the Patient Bill of Rights was actually written in 1973 by the American Hospital Association. So just like we have our Constitution, I carry this pocket Constitution everywhere to remind people what our rights are. But we have a Bill of Rights, and we developed this Patient Bill of Rights, published in the early 1970s. And it has 15 items on it. And It protects the patient's rights to have courteous, considerate care, to be able to choose their care plan and what medicines they want and what medicines they don't, to be able to refuse experimental devices, treatments, and medicines, to be able to pick their physician and fire their physician and expect the hospital to provide good continuity of care, to have real-time information such as lab studies and data given to them, communicated to them daily, or communicated to their POA or their healthcare surrogate daily, the ability to name a POA healthcare surrogate who will make those decisions for them, because we know what's happening in the hospital is people are being isolated, sedated. They're not allowed to have visitors. They're being given medications and sedatives against their will. They then get confused and they can't make good decisions. And that's when bad things happen, like they're asked to sign the electronic keypad that gives the hospital the right to ventilate them without consent, or to give them a COVID vaccine without their consent, or give them a bioequivalent medication, such as some of these new rheumatoid arthritis medicines that they're using to treat COVID in the hospital that are killing kidneys, livers, and causing worsening of infection. So the Patient Bill of Rights is there. And you can download that from the AHA, the American Hospital Association site, and bring that into the hospital and remind the hospital and doctors that you have a right to voice what your care plan and treatment is going to be. You have a right to change doctors, fire a doctor, and get the doctor that you want. And you have a right to approved treatment.
And what do you say to the doctors that are in there treating, going, oh, we're not going to give you ivermectin, but we will give you remdesivir, which Dr. Pierre Corey jokingly said he calls it death is near. What do you say to the doctors that won't prescribe ivermectin right when they walk in the door?
Well, I say to families that I counsel, which I do on a weekly basis, I have quite a few families I'm helping to navigate hospital. I tell them to called to the risk management and asked for a patient navigator. And to get all of those demands written and placed in the chart on the record. So I don't want remdesivir. I don't want ventilation. I don't want the rheumatoid arthritis medicines given to my loved one. I want these vitamin treatments given. I will bring in ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine to administer to my loved one because they are FDA approved. You have rights. You have a right to get...
Why doesn't the hospital bring it in? I mean, why do you have to bring in ivermectin and fight the whole system and try to and pay for expensive dosing of this junk, which has skyrocketed the price of ivermectin? Why do you have to come in and bring it? Why can't the hospital just call up their pharmacy and say, yeah, we need ivermectin and HCQ?
Because the pharmacists aren't ordering it, stocking it, because they're controlled by the CEOs of the hospital. They only want to push the CDC protocol. So patients are having to, I just helped a family navigate hospital and get out because we did this. I called in on a Zoom call and their attorney called in on the Zoom call. And we actually got everything written down that we were demanding with the patient's wife, with the risk management team. And we got a new doctor on the case. That doctor allowed the family to bring in the ivermectin, the high dose vitamin C, the high dose zinc, the high dose vitamin D.
Did he live?
He lived. He's home. He did a video last night on Upfront in the Prophetic, he and his wife. And this is what I'm fighting every day, Greg. To help families get out of the hospital.
You're telling me that the hospitals are intentionally murdering their patients. Am I getting that wrong?
They are. You did not get that wrong. It is happening across America, and people need to wake up. You have rights. You have rights to early treatment. You have rights in the hospital. You have a right to demand these medications. You have a right to transfer to a hospital and get the appropriate treatment that you need for your loved one.
What's the motivation to murder their own patients?
Money. Fauci's budget, since he's been in office, he's spent $191 billion of taxpayer money on research development, drugs and studies. He has a tremendous budget. And you have to understand, he controls teaching hospitals, all the research across the country, on all the hospitals, all of big pharma.
When the general public knows this, I mean, there's going to be a backlash against these doctors and the pharmacists and the hospitals and the administrators and the executives of AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer and Moderna. There's going to be a big backlash, and it might be a pretty violent backlash.
Yes, there will be suicides. They will not be able to walk down the street. They will not be able to stay within their communities. This is going to be tremendous arrests, tremendous Nuremberg trials. It is going to be massive, and it may destroy the hospital systems.
Wow. Man, oh, man, that's... Is the estimates right? Millions of people? I mean, now we're looking at these lots, and some of them, you know, biotech analyst Karen Kingston said, you know, there are, you know, 16, 18 lots that don't have any bad reaction, adverse reaction in VAERS, adverse event reporting system, VAERS. And she said, but that, I was telling her, I said, well, you know, only 1 in 100 are actually reported. So couldn't there be a lot of people that have reactions that are slight, that aren't that great now, and there could be something bigger in the future? I mean, isn't this all leading up to a lot of people getting sick and dying?
Yes, Greg. Let me talk about VAERS. VAERS only reports 1-2%. And Steve Kirsch, who is from MIT, he put together a team of 25,000 scientists and input also from Peter McCullough. And they calculated using 8 different metrics, what the VAERS underreporting factor is. The underreporting factor is 41. So if you look today at the CDC or the VAERS USA death numbers, it's around 8,000, just over 8,000. If you multiply that times 41, which is the underreporting factor, you're looking at 328,000 deaths. And that's a lowball estimate. We're looking at probably closer by the end of December, 500,000 deaths. And that factor has been verified by 25,000 scientists. So I think that's accurate.
500,000 deaths by the end of just in America.
Just in America. And there's an estimated 2 million in Europe.
And then there is the debilitating, life-changing adverse reactions, blood clotting, heart problems, autoimmune deficiency syndrome, the stuff you can't fix. That's millions. That's got to be in the millions, right?
It is. And what's concerning is now they're going after our children. And Peter McCullough, he has taken a look at the American Heart Association journal.com. And he's found that in the children and teenage categories, there's been 600 cardiac-related injuries in the 12 to 17-year-old group. And
wow.
If the children develop myocarditis, pericarditis, their 56% mortality rate in 4 years. So they're going to die in 4 years. If they develop a giant cell myocarditis, which is a real severe infiltrating virus to the heart muscle, they have an 80% mortality in 5 years. So this is a big deal.
And this is from the vaccines. Oh, excuse me. This
correct.
Is from the clot shots, the bioweapons.
The clot shots, correct.
All right, Elizabeth Eads, wow, always very interesting. You know, doctors are being incentivized to murder you in the hospital. The hospitals are murdering people for money. There's way more deaths that they are admitting to, at least in VAERS, and they backed up by science. The shots don't work, and we're going to have a big day off this winter.
I think so. I don't see how you can reverse the effects of the graphene oxide and the synthetic spike protein. I don't see that. There is one promising treatment that I read about this week, Greg. It's ultrasound therapy to the chest and lungs that is in study right now that is breaking up the synthetic spike protein that's attacking the lung linings and the bronchial airways. So that's kind of promising, but it's very difficult because there are studies for different products and different treatments ongoing right now.
Yeah, and just protect yourself. Ivermectin, HCQ, zinc, vitamins, C, D. Make sure you build yourself up. If you're unvaxxed, if you're vaxxed, you need all the same stuff mm-hmm. to try to, and whatever you do, I guess we'll leave in this closing. Because this is the big thing, the big push Omicron and 100 million doses for boosters. And would you get a booster if you've already had 2 jabs?
Absolutely not. And I don't recommend a flu shot because antibody-dependent enhancement will be worsened by taking a flu shot.
No boosters, no flu shots.
Correct.
We'll leave it at that. Dr. Eads, another fabulous, very enlightening, very... good interview with information for people to help themselves. Dr. Elizabeth Eads, thank you for joining us today on usawatchdog.com. I'll put your social media contacts. I think you have a Twitter and you have a LinkedIn or Telegram.
Telegram is Dr_Betsy. And I do have.
Well, we lost Elizabeth Eads, but I think we have her back now. We have her back. Dr. Eads, I don't want to leave you that way and just go into black screen. Dr. Eads. Thank you very much for joining us today on USA Watchdog. I'll put all your social media contacts in the after the interview section as I did before. People should follow you. People can also, I guess, contact you if they need help. And I really appreciate you coming out there and sticking your neck out. I know you're getting grief from people. One last thing I wanted to say, you resigned from the Florida Board of Medicine or something. What did you recently resign from because of all this?
So I resigned my delegate position with Florida Medical Association because they were still promoting the bioweapon shots. They were also promoting healthcare workers to continue to wear masks and continue to be vaccinated. And I just can't agree with their position. They're not advocating for health and wellness in physicians or patients. So I resigned. It's just ethically against what I believe in.
Well, one last thing. I'm glad you came back on. I'm glad we got you back on. I forgot to ask about this. It's kind of a humorous. We'll end with this story. It's a fight back where you win story. And they were going to force you to be vaxxed, and you ended up calling Governor DeSantis.
Because you told
me this story, I thought, well, you talked to Governor DeSantis? Yes, I did. Yeah. Tell me about your interchange with Governor DeSantis and the hospital administrator was going to force you to be vaxxed or lose your privileges.
Well, it wasn't the hospital. It was the hospice director was pushing for us to get vaccinated. And some of the staff were being fired because their religious exemptions were not being accepted. And I was helping most of these nurses with their religious exemptions and using Dr. Shane Bond's religious exemption. And I was helping them to write a response based on what their religious beliefs were. And when it came down to a few days before people had to be vaccinated, I decided to send an email to Ron DeSantis and the legal team. And I actually got a call from Ron, and I said, what can I tell this director? And we talked about three things. We talked about the fines in Florida up to $50,000 per employee if they were fired. There are fines here in Florida that are handed out by the Department of Health. And we talked about that being a great cost to the company and could break the company's bank. And we talked about the personal responsibility and the Nuremberg codes. And so I actually talked to the director, and the next day, when maybe 2 days, the opinion from Missouri and Louisiana came down, and the federal court decided that these mandates were unconstitutional, thank God. And all of my hospitals, my hospice, my nursing homes backed off on mandating the bioweapon shot. So the nurses' jobs are temporarily saved, thank God. But Ron DeSantis has been a champion for all of us here in Florida, not just the healthcare workers, but for all of us. And the fines are actually happening. And Disney actually listened to Ron DeSantis and stopped firing people for mandating the vaccine. And Disney is a big company. That's a big deal for the state of Florida. They didn't want to pay $50 fine.
Yeah, no, they got their attention. Thank you for telling us that story, because there is a way to fight back if you're governor and he happens to be a Republican. But I'm sure a lot of Democrats don't like these shots. But anyway, Dr. Elizabeth Eads, thank you for joining us today on USAWatchdog.com. And we lost her picture, but it's okay. Oh, there you are, back again. I'm gonna get this before we leave out of here. Dr. Elizabeth Eads, thank you for joining us today on USAWatchdog.com.
My pleasure, Greg. My pleasure.